to the final round of GI's Mortal Kombat 2 tournament. I am Editor-in-Chief Lindsay Mosley, and we are at the end. We are at the very, very end, round 6 of the Mortal Kombat 2 tournament. We are finishing it up, and actually, even though it's round 6 and it's the finals, we do have one last match before we can actually get to the finals. So, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the actual finals match, and who made it and who didn't make it. And then we're going to get into a little bit of bracket discussion and analysis. We've got a lot of analysis and statistics to go through. And then we're going to wrap it up. This has been fun so far, for me at least. I can't speak for Jamie, but this was fun for me. I really enjoyed doing this tournament and taking on, you know, different characters and figuring out how everything should work and playing Mortal Kombat 2 competitively. So I'm really excited about it, and I'm kind of wistful to be at the end of the tournament now. We've run this tournament for 6 issues. So for us, that's 6 quarters. So that's been about a year and a half. It's been about a year and a half. Because that would be about 18 months. We have 4 issues per year, 3 months in between each issue. So, we've done 6 so far. So, it's been about 18 months or so, and a lot has changed in that 18 months. So, let's get started. All right. So we started with the standard number of characters. We had 12 characters, which is the standard number of people in Mortal Kombat 2 anyway. I mean, you can count. It's 4 rows of 3 on the character select screen. And it was fun. We put, the way we started this out is we put everyone into a hat. And we took turns picking characters, and that set up the brackets. Now, it's always assumed that I am player 1 and Jamie was player 2. So when we went through and we picked out the characters, I have a bracket program, which is very, very helpful, and I love that thing to death because it is beautiful. It automatically set up my brackets. I just told them, you know, I told it what I wanted, how I wanted the tournament set up, and what characters I wanted where, and how buys should be placed and all that. So it's really simple, and it's a free program, and it's gorgeous. The UI for it is a little dated, but I don't really care about that. So long as it works, that's all I care about. So anyway, we got the 12 characters picked, and we put them in the brackets, and let the program do its work, and so it kicked out the original brackets, which were Johnny Cage got a bye in the first round, Katana versus Scorpion, then Melina versus Liu Kang, Sub-Zero got a bye, then Shang Tsung got a bye, and then it was Jax versus Baraka, Raiden versus Kung Lao, and Reptile got a bye. So we had 4 matches that first round, and well, slowly but surely, we got through our matches, and sometimes we had to go back and forth between the losers and winners bracket to make the tournament advance. And so we started out with that initial 4 and then kept going, and I must say, I noticed a couple of trends in the brackets as we were going through, because I knew from the beginning who won. I mean, we filmed our video ages ago, and we just, you know, as we went along, we released the video and did the podcast, but we've known for some time who's actually won the tournament, and it was no surprise, let's put it that way. I was not surprised. So we're going to get into who's left standing at the beginning of round 6. Now, at the beginning of round 6, there's 3 people left, okay? Out of the initial 12, there's 3. It's Katana, Melina, and Baraka. Now, I'm not surprised about Melina and Katana being left over. I'm not at all. That does not surprise me in the slightest, because Those two are top tier characters. They're considered, well, I consider them top tier characters. Let's put it that way. I consider those two top tier characters. Baraka, not really, no. But there are people who do not consider Katana a top tier character. She's actually placed squarely in the middle, which we will get to with the GamePro chart analysis. We're going to get to that. But she's not considered a top tier character, which doesn't make sense to me at all, but whatever. She has some weaknesses, obviously. She has weaknesses, just like everyone in the game has weaknesses, but to me, I feel like she's top tier character. So when we get to that point and it's like, oh, she's not considered top tier, but she's in the finals, she's basically in the finals of our tournament, I'm like, well, okay, you can maybe throw in the fact that I am pretty good with Katana. She's my best character. But I didn't always play Katana. There was a thing there. I wasn't always playing Katana. So there's something to be said for her being fairly top tier. So anyway, we had those three characters left. And I was like, okay, well, that's obvious, those three. But I was like, really? Some of these top tier characters, some of these characters that should have been top tier, that are considered top tier, were not top in this tournament. I can tell you that much. I can tell you, Kung Lao, he went out first. He literally was eliminated first. Like, he's a top tier character. What in the world? Why is Kung Lao out first? That doesn't make sense. And the way we did our tournament rankings was based on the order of elimination, like most double elimination tournaments do anyway. But I just was like, for real? Like, how is he not, like, still in the finals somewhere? But, and most surprising, I can tell you, Reptile got fourth place. I was like, what? Reptile is not a top tier character. Reptile is the worst character in the game. The worst. I mean, I can tell you that. He's the worst. He should have been number 12 somewhere. I mean, he really should have been number 12. But we had a lot of ties for, we had two ties for fifth, two ties for seventh, and then four ties for ninth. So, I mean, I just was like, what in the world? That's ridiculous. So, anyway, I can tell you, now that first match, we're going to get into the round discussion now, because that determines that I can tell you who got put out and why they're in third place. So, the first match of round six was Katana versus Melina. Okay, now, if you're looking at our brackets, which you should have a copy of this, because it's in our issue where you're listening to this, you will see in our brackets, it was the loser's bracket final. Okay, Reptile was eliminated. All right, he lost twice. And so Melina moved on. All right, so she took on Katana because Katana lost to Baraka finally. She finally lost to Baraka in the winner's bracket. So that set up the matchup of Melina versus Katana. Now, there was already previously a Melina versus Katana matchup in round four. So that's why I was like, okay, well, this is not a surprise that there's going to be a matchup of this nature again. So what I was surprised, of course, was the fact that it took that long for it to show up again. And they met in the finals, which are the finals of the loser's bracket, which I wasn't surprised. That part didn't surprise me because I figured they would be the ones to duke it out at the end anyway. I was surprised it took Melina that long to lose anyway. So I figured she would just go straight on through and be the winner. You know, she would win the winner's bracket, basically. But she didn't. She took on Katana in the finals of the loser's bracket. So that matchup was interesting because we've had that, as I said, we had that previously in round four, and I wasn't surprised. It was gracious. I wasn't surprised at all. And this is a fight that, for me and Jamie, Melina is one of his best characters. And Katana is, as I've said also, she's my best character. Oh, hands down, no problem. Like, I play a strong Melina, but Katana is actually my favorite and my best character. So I wasn't surprised that this was going to be a very strong matchup, and it was. It was very evenly matched, and my problem was that I missed a lot of fan lifts. This was my thing. I missed a couple of I missed the cut. I'm sorry. I didn't actually do the fan lifts. I wasn't playing Katana. It was Melina. My bad. It was Melina. Melina, actually, and I should probably change this somewhere. It's Melina versus Katana. So I played Melina and Jamie played Katana. So my thing though was, He missed a couple of fan lists, but I had to take advantage of that and roll. That was my thing. I had to get that ground roll going, and I had to get the teleport kicks going. If you can get that set up, there was a lot of missed ground rolls on my part, and it's hard for me to recover and make sure that I do it at the right time. Because while the ground roll is effective, if you miss it, it's not effective. That's kind of a gimme. Like, that's obvious. You're gonna miss. And if you're gonna miss, you don't wanna miss and be caught coming out of it. Cause she has extreme, the pop up from the ground roll and the recovery is extreme. So it's obvious when you see somebody miss that ground roll and they pop up or it's blocked or whatever. She has to stop what she's doing. The animation is still going. She has to stop what she's doing, pop up, recover, and even though she's one of the fastest characters in the game, if not the fastest, she has problems with recovery just like everybody else. So, it's not, I wasn't all that surprised, but at the same time, it was, I wished I had missed a lot of stuff. I should have capitalized on the missed fan lift. There was a couple of missed fan lifts that I should have capitalized on. And also, she had problems blocking incoming teleport kicks, which that was good for me and not good for her. The thing is, I lost the second round. It was looking kind of touch and go there because I won the first round, but I lost the second round. I was like, crap, I'm already down one. I can't afford to lose this last round. But it was a good, I noticed that Jamie employed a good strategy of fan lift, jump kick, fan throw, which is like bread and butter. That's her bread. That's Katana's bread and butter. He employed that strategy and it worked very well. I was like, wow, I got hit by that twice, at least that I know of, and it was not good in my favor. I mean, that takes off so much damage and it's so easy and simple to execute that you don't even realize how much damage it's doing to you until you get hit by it twice. So by the time that I recovered from that, it was too late, and he won the second round. But the third round, I got a couple of teleport kicks and ground rolls in, and I got a throw in at the end. And I managed to pull that off and win. So Katana was eliminated. So that last round, especially the teleport kicks, is what came in handy, and especially with the ground rolls, that especially came in handy. I was very, very pleased with my progress with Melina doing the ground rolls and teleport kicks. And also, I did try to use air size. I tried to jump up and throw air size, and I noticed also I have this thing about jumping back, flipping back, and throwing a air sigh, which is not necessarily a good trade because Katana is going to hit you. I mean, if she throws a fan and you're throwing air sighs, you're going to get hit. If you're throwing a sigh and she's already throwing her fan, it's going to hit you. Like, you're going to trade damage, and that's probably not a good trade. But I noticed I did try to use a lot of air sighs because there was, and I made the mistake of jumping over to her a lot, and I jumped over to Katana a lot, and that is one of my weaknesses when playing against Katana. I always misjudge that, so I tend to get ate up by that. So, that last match, that was match 21, Melina versus Katana, and Melina won, so she moved on to the finals, and the finals encompassed matches 22 and 23, which were Baraka versus Melina. Now, this was interesting because I used Baraka and Jamie used Melina. And because it was the finals, that made a big difference. It did make a big difference, how things went. So, I'm not a big Baraka fan. I'm just not. I can't play him very well. And as you can see, I didn't do so well with Baraka. But since this was the finals, and Baraka had not lost yet. He had to win, because Melina had to win the best 2 out of 3 matches. Not rounds, but matches. She had to win at least 2 matches, because Baraka had to lose at least once. So, Baraka, I think I did a fairly decent job with Baraka, even though he didn't win. I think I did a fairly decent job with Baraka. I thought that the tournament play in the end was pretty good. I missed a lot of Blade Furies, and that was my undoing. I know for a fact that was my undoing. Especially because I was like, how in the world does Melina get to 1 roll under my Blade Furies? She should not be able to roll through that. I should be hit by that. Actually, she should have been hit by that. I may have been hit, but she should have been hit by that, because my Blade Furies are like ground level. You can't. They are low and mid. A mid and low move. You should be getting hit by this. If you're standing in front of him, and this is the way you can tell this, if you're standing in front of him, that's a mid-level move. He's kneeling down to do it. He's not standing up. So, technically, that should hit mid-level and low-level. Okay? That should not be, you should not be able to roll through that whatsoever. I can see projectiles hitting him, but not like people, not actual bodies hitting him. So a couple of times I noticed that, and then like I did a couple of teleport kicks. I noticed there was a couple of teleport kicks that hit Baraka as he was doing a Blade Fury, and I was like, really? Come on now. That I realized that's a high move, but she's going from high to low. That should not. Yeah, she should have been hit by that. So. Anyway, he lost. he lost match 22 and he lost match 23. So the overall tournament winner was Melina. She won. She's grand champion. I noticed I did win a couple of rounds. I think I won maybe one or two rounds. Yeah, I did win 1 round in match 22. I won a match in round 23. I've been in match 23. But overall, I didn't do very well in completing, you know, actually carrying it out and finishing it out. So Melina won that one. it was hard. I can tell you, it was very hard, especially because I was playing against Jamie's best character, and my Baraka just wasn't, my Baraka's terrible anyway, so I wasn't very surprised by all of that, and the fact that I lost. So, moving on, that wraps up our round discussion, I was not surprised by the fact that Melina won. I can tell you, I really wasn't surprised. The final actual round, the match rankings, this is the tournament rankings, based on order of elimination. First place was Melina, second place was Baraka, third place was Katana, fourth place was Reptile, tied for fifth were Johnny Cage and Liu Kang, tied for seventh were Jax and Scorpion, and tied for ninth, in the order of elimination, was Raiden, Sub-Zero, Shang Tsung, and finally Kung Lao. So, pretty much, that's it. I mean, that's pretty much our brackets. I was very, very, very surprised by what was going on there. Because, one, Liu Kang, I thought, one, Liu Kang would be a little higher than fifth. I thought he would probably have come out in fourth place. Because we're now getting into our brackets discussion. I really thought that Liu Kang was going to be in fourth place. I really did not count Reptile being in fourth place at all. Johnny Cage ended up where I thought he would. Jax, top two characters. Should have been much higher than seventh. Tied for seventh with Scorpion, of all people. And I really thought that Kung Lao would have been in that top four or five, too. And I really thought that he would be somewhere in there. Instead of Baraka, I really thought it was going to be Kung Lao or Jax being in, coming in second place. So that is why I was like, well, you know, them's the breaks, I suppose. But yeah, I really thought I really had some overall assumptions starting out this tournament a year and a half ago, and you know, getting here is like, wow, okay. as soon as we finished up the brackets and we finished our videos and stuff, I was like, wow, that did not play out the way I thought. As you're listening to this, you can go back and watch the videos. We have all of the videos set up in a playlist on YouTube, and they're embedded in our site. So you can watch all of the tournament videos in one sitting if you want to. It's six different videos. So, you know, and they're based, grouped together based on rounds and whatever. So you can easily watch and you can see if you want to watch, say you want to jump from, you start at the beginning and you want to jump to the end and see who won, you can go right there and watch which video it is. They're all marked based on the rounds. So, and you can follow along with your own brackets if you want to. I set up a normal, 16 man bracket, so. Yeah, that's not that hard to do if you want to. So, we're going to move forward now, and we're going to talk about analysis. We're going to get into our analysis. Now, the first part of our analysis is this GamePro chart. And there's a little bit of background on the GamePro chart. This GamePro chart originally started, I went back and found, and this is how I got the idea to do this tournament in the first place. There was two reasons. One, I'd never actually played in a Mortal Kombat 2 tournament. I'd always played in an arcade against other people, but never in an actual tournament setting. I played Street Fighter in tournament settings and other fighting games in tournament settings, but I've never actually played Mortal Kombat in tournament settings. So, I decided, I was like, okay, let's go do this. And then, also, many years ago, in 1994, this chart that you will see if you look at our issue, I recreated the chart and put it actually put it in with our GamePro chart analysis. I remembered reading GamePro magazine, which is now defunct, in July of 1994, and I was that was at the height of my Mortal Kombat 2 playing. Because I was 13, and I had just turned 13, and I was getting ready to start the 8th grade, and Mortal Kombat 2 was, like, hyped. Everybody was playing 2 and waiting for 3 to come out, and, I mean, it was huge. So, I remember seeing this tournament chart, and I have the actual issue still downstairs in my apartment. I have a box that's just full of magazines, old magazines that I had. And so I had this chart, and I remembered it. I actually recreated the chart by hand, like maybe 2 months later after it came out, because I took the chart with me to the arcade, and I didn't want to take the magazine with me. So I recreated it by hand, and I still have it in my little seventh and eighth grade handwriting. So I decided, I was like, okay, well, we're going to do this tournament. Well, let's include this chart, and we're going to do a chart analysis, because the original chart was developed by two guys out in California who were top tier, Mortal Kombat players. I mean, they were huge Mortal Kombat players. They were ranked 4th and 5th in California's Mortal Kombat Association or some such nonsense. But the thing was, this chart originally appeared once in GamePro magazine. It never appeared again. They never finished their tournament analysis on it or anything. I was like, really, GamePro? What happened here? Y'all dropped the ball. Because they had already started doing... they started out ranking people's uppercuts in the game, like ranking character uppercuts, and they stopped after that first issue that it first appeared in, and I was like, really? I kind of need that. So, my original chart has, the one that I made myself back in the day has the uppercut rankings on it, but that's it. Like, and it just has the chart and the uppercut rankings. So I was kind of like, really? That's kind of crappy of you guys. So moving on, this chart is pretty special. It's pretty special. And I've always been enamored with it, and that's why I kept it. Because they explained, they ranked based on, they did like 10 matches. And whoever has a great advantage and disadvantage, they mark it with like red and blue. And you can't have mirror matches. It discounts mirror matches. But they ranked based on tiers, who was in certain, who was in a certain tier. So, this tournament chart was pretty important. And the way they have it set up, they ranked in tier one as Melina versus Jax. In tier two, I'm sorry, it's Melina and Jax, not versus Jax, but it's Melina and Jax. In tier two are Kung Lao and Liu Kang. In tier three are Johnny Cage, Sub-Zero, Katana, Scorpion, Shang Tsung, Baraka, Raiden. And in tier four is Reptile. Now, I'm guessing that the way they base these tiers were, and how they decided this is because they had a total number of wins. It's based off of, they did 10 matches each for all of these characters versus each other. And so out of 10, they have a number that says like, okay, Melina versus Jax. Melina won 7 out of the 10 times versus Jax. Okay. So that gave her 7 versus him. Then versus Kung Lao, she had 5. Versus Liu Kang, she had 6. Johnny Cage, 5.5, Sub-Zero, 6, Katana, 6, Scorpion, 6, Shang Tsung, 6.5, Baraka, 6, Raiden, 6, Reptile, 7, okay? Now, you add all those numbers up, and it's like 67.0. That's total number of wins. So, that gave her number one. And it goes by total number of wins. So, Melina and Jax are in tier 1 because they have above 60%. They're in the same kind of range, I guess. And that's how they, I think that's how they figured it out. That because they're in the same range of percentage that they encompass one tier. So in tier 2, like Kung Lao and Liu Kang have, Kung Lao has 59.0% and Liu Kang has 58.5%. And then the next tier, but this is kind of weird because Johnny Cage is 53.5. So I could see some people being tied in the same tier and whatever, but it's weird. I'm guessing it's like above a certain threshold or whatever. I don't know. I never could figure out because they never did actually run another chart. So they didn't finish explaining the chart. And I was like, well, that was kind of pointless of y'all. But anyway, so we do this, we did this Game Pro chart analysis, and in my introduction to the chart, I said, with the early rounds and now the finale of Gaming Insurrection's Mortal Kombat 2 tournament, we've run a remade tournament wins chart that once ran in the now defunct Game Pro magazine, first appearing in issue 59, I'm sorry, it was June 1994, not July 1994. The chart was created through dissecting matches of two players, Mike Guzman and Martin Vega, of the California Mortal Kombat Association. We're breaking down this chart, which is considered one of, if not the best, professional tournament rankings for Mortal Kombat 2. So I'm sorry, I did misspeak. It was June 1994. July 1994 was something else. I don't even remember. But it wasn't Mortal Kombat, and they didn't continue this chart. So, we have down here how it's broken down. In tier one with Melina and Jax, and I'm not going to read this entire thing, our entire analysis. That's what you guys are going to go read this for. But I put down here for Melina, and I'll just read you the little excerpt for Melina. Melina should nearly should be a tier by herself. That's how dominating she can be in the right hands. 9 times out of 10 matches, Melina is going to make her presence known with an assortment of speedy moves that will lead to a punishing absolute victory. Though she has counters, Katana comes to mind. Melina is hard to defend against because she has such a punishing offense. She does exceptionally well on the chart against Jax, Shang Tsung, and Reptile. And that's like the description for that I wrote, because I wrote all of these descriptions for certain characters, actually all of the characters, but based on the tiers and stuff. Now, I want to read you guys the Katana one, because I wrote this as an assessment as a longtime Katana player. I thought the chart assessment was kind of strange for Katana. And so for Katana, I wrote, "This assessment is the one we have the most trouble with. Katana is a much better character than the one portrayed in her wins percentage. However, though we disagree with the statistics and our tournament results agree with us, we can understand how she isn't top tier. She isn't particularly strong against most characters, and her moveset has a few openings that can lead to big gains. However, she puts up a good fight in most situations, and if used correctly, Katana can be a strong character in anyone's arsenal." Now, that was my assessment that I wrote for Katana, because I was like, she should be better than this. There's no reason why she should be in tier 3 and ranked number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 on the chart. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, no, she should be higher than 7 on the damn chart. Like, that just makes me mad. I'm like, no, she should be at least higher than Johnny Cage. At least. Because she's like 2 people below him. So yeah, I was just like, I don't know. That's weird. So the thing about Raiden, and this is especially, I want to point this out especially because seeing as though the newest Mortal Kombat game has come out, and Raiden is top tier in that game, apparently. Raiden, on our chart, my assessment for Raiden, because Raiden is in tier 3, he's at the bottom of tier 3, he's almost tier 4, with Reptile, but I thought I would point out this assessment to you guys that Raiden, I have down here, "The God of Thunder just doesn't make the grade in either our tournament or in the chart matchups. He is definitely an underperformer and doesn't really dominate against many other except for his fellow cellar dwellers, Baraka and Reptile. But Raiden's win percentage averages out to exactly 50%, so don't expect to win a lot of matchups with him. Raiden has a solidly bad performance against many characters, even those in his tier, and it's because he doesn't really have a way to counter without being left vulnerable. His teleport is obvious and slow, and his Superman move really doesn't do much to catch anyone off guard." And that is true. I have seen myself just get hammered for trying to Superman somebody and popping up off of them, and the recovery is just terrible. So, yeah, I when I went back and reread my assessment, yeah, that's true. So, I thought this GamePro chart analysis, I wanted to run an analysis of the chart and talk about a little bit about that, because that chart actually, we had a few differences with the chart based on our tournament, but overall, I could pretty much understand how that worked. I could pretty much see how that was pretty accurate, how their chart came up to be pretty accurate, especially because it was 2 high level players playing in this tournament, and the guys who did the chart originally, Mike Guzman and Martin Vega, were considered 2 of the best Mortal Kombat players in the country. I mean, that's just that the fact that we came up with kind of sort of the same assessments and whatever, yeah, that tells me that we kind of sort of knew what we were doing, kind of. So, we're going to move on. If you want to read the rest of the tournament assessment, if you want to read more of the GamePro chart analysis, just read the issue and look at our Mortal Kombat 2 tournament centerpiece, and you'll find it. It's on page 28, if I'm not mistaken. It's on 28. So, now, let's talk a little bit about our tournament stats. So, I had to go through and do by the numbers. And the by the numbers was interesting. That was very interesting. I did several charts. I did at least 4 charts. I did 4 charts. And I even still have some tournament statistics that I didn't put in here. But, I decided I was going to do some by the numbers and show you guys, break it down by numbers, what everybody looked like. So, our first chart is how characters fared individually. And I did it by rounds fought and individual wins. Now, we went through and I made these charts using a spreadsheet graph. And I thought it turned out to be fairly interesting. Rounds fought, we had the number of rounds fought total. And then the number of individual wins, and that meant individual rounds won. Okay, so Melina had, because not everybody fought in every round, so that's why we did number of rounds out of, and I can't even remember the number of rounds right off the top of my head. We had a total number of, that's right, it's 62 rounds, okay, because I had to go back and add up, this was interesting how we came up with this, I added up each match that was done, I counted the individual number of rounds, so like, I don't know, in the finals, we had 3 rounds for the first match, 3 rounds for the second match. So I'm thinking that's 6, that would be 6 total rounds, and that's how we came up with that, so as an example. And I could be wrong about that number in the finals, but basically that's how we did it. We pretty much counted up the number of individual rounds. And so, so here in the first chart, in chart number 1, that shows the number of rounds fought, that they actually fought, and then the individual wins, how many rounds did they actually win? So, I thought that was pretty nifty, and it was kind of hard to get this chart to work like I wanted it to, but it did. In the end, it turned out okay. And everybody fought at least one round. You had to fight at least 2 rounds. You can't have less than 2. You could have 0 individual wins, you can't have 0 rounds fought, because then you wouldn't have fought in the tournament. So, I thought that chart was pretty cool. And then match wins percentage for characters. And then I have a note down here. Characters not listed on this chart. This is chart number 4. I'm going to skip to chart number 4. Characters not listed on this chart did not win matches in the tournament. So, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 characters that actually won some matches. 3 people did not win matches, which is crazy. It's kind of weird how that worked out, because, like, it says on here that Kung Lao won. He won some matches. He won, like, 1 out of 3. But, like, he was eliminated first. And there are people who won 0 matches that were eliminated after Kung Lao. Which, I don't know, that was kind of strange, and I was like, oh, that's kind of weird, that's kind of that's going to skew my numbers. But the way, when I looked at the brackets, and I was like, okay, based on who was eliminated first, that's kind of important. We have to go by that instead of how many matches did somebody win. Because if you're eliminated first, you're out of the tournament. Like, you're done. You're completely done. You're not going to fight any more matches anyway. So, that's how I came up with that ranking. Now, moving on to chart 2 and 3. Charts 2 and 3 are for myself and for Jamie. And this is how many that we as players won. So, individual rounds for me, I can barely remake this out because I'm looking at my printout. But I think I won like 23 out of 62, I think. And so that would be like 46.7%. And Jamie won 38 out of 62%. He won 38 out of 62, which would be 61.2%. So he won more of the individual rounds than I did. And that number kind of has to add up to be, and I want to say that has to add up to be 62. So maybe that number is a little off. Maybe mine is a little off, because it kind of has to add up to be 62. And I think that I might have to go back and fix it. And I'm almost certain that my number that I just read you guys out of mine was wrong, because it has to add up to be 62 number of individual rounds. He won overall. He by far won more matches, won individual rounds than I did. So I wasn't surprised by that. He's actually a better player than I am. Much better. I played it about the same amount of time as he has, but he's better at strategy and being able to read movements and all that. He's better, much better at that than I am. He won more matches than I did, because I won 10 out of 24 matches, and the reason why we're going to have 24 matches is going to be a little strange, but we have a bonus match, because we did an actual bonus match, and it's at the end of the video. If you want to watch the tournament video, the very last one for the finals, we did 20, and that's what we've been basing it on, and that's why when we did the match roundup, we didn't include match 24 when we were giving you the strategy for match 24, because that's a bonus round, but we did include it in our tournament statistics, so that's why that's kind of slightly important. But when we did these, I won 10 out of 24, which gave me 42%. This is chart number 3. And Jamie won 14 out of 24 matches. So he had 58%. So he also won more matches. Basically, he won far more matches than I did. And I kind of wanted to do a statistic, how many times, our favorite character, our best character won out of that, but the individual wins, I think, is basically how that fared. Because so, like, mine, for my individual wins for Katana, she got, like, 7. She won 7 matches, so, I want to say that, she won 7 out of, I can't tell how many matches she fought. I have that written down somewhere as well. But basically, my favorite character won 7 times. And then his favorite character is actually Jax. Jax didn't do so well. Jax only won 2. Jax only won 2. Melina won 16, which was weird. And I think that's actually, now that I think about that, that's number of individual wins. The individual wins are rounds. They're individual wins for rounds. Because, yeah, that's kind of strange. Wow. I wonder why I did that way. It's kind of weird. But, okay. But, yeah, that's basically how that chart played out. But those are wins. And I know, I think I had one that had matches or something somewhere. I don't even know. I think I had that somewhere, but you guys can look at it and see. So, getting to the last analysis, we have our based on order of elimination in the tournament, we have MK2 character rankings. Okay, now this is based on order of elimination, how they won, how they won matches, where they placed in the tournament, that kind of thing. So, our character rankings are basically the order of elimination. So it's Melina number 1, Baraka at number 2, Katana at number 3, Reptile at number 4, Johnny Cage at number 5, Liu Kang at number 6, Jax at number 7, Scorpion at number 8, Raiden at number 9, Sub-Zero at number 10, and Shang Tsung at 11, and Kung Lao finally at number 12. So, oh boy, I see here, and actually, this is where I have the number of matches won, and you can read this, you can see, in our description for each character, where I have the number of matches won. So, Melina won 8 matches, Katana won 3 matches, Baraka won 7, Reptile won 2, Johnny Cage won 2, Liu Kang won 2, Jax won 1, Scorpion won 1, Raiden, Sub-Zero, Shang Tsung, and Kung Lao I'm sorry, Raiden, Sub-Zero, and Shang Tsung won 0 matches, and Kung Lao won 1. Now, that's because of buys. I can tell you, the buys, throwing buys in there, that's how Kung Lao got eliminated first, and won 1 match, but like 3 people won 0 matches and still managed to come out ahead of him. It was weird how that worked out, but if you go from the top of the bracket down and then come back up the top of the bracket and down, you'll see how he got eliminated first. So, going from loser's bracket backward. What I wrote for Melina, and I just give you a few, I'll read a few of these descriptions that we wrote, and then you guys can read the rest of them and see how we ranked everyone. For Melina, I wrote, the Queen of Mortal Kombat 2 showed why she is considered a universal top-tier character. Her speed served her well throughout, and very few characters like Katana and Baraka gave her trouble. Her extremely good selection of moves and hard-to-counter speed wrapped up the victory in a particularly easy fashion for her. And then, and we also noted down here what the Game Pro ranking was, and what to contrast with our ranking. So, we had some stats, like, biggest change in between Game Pro ranking and our tournament ranking, which belonged to Kung Lao, if I'm not mistaken. That was actually Kung Lao. He wound up getting, he went from, like, number 3 on their chart to, like, 12 on ours. So, he had the biggest jump. He dropped, like, 9 spots down. I'm gonna see if I can't find that. That information, because I wanted to include that in our actual written descriptions and stuff, but I didn't have the space for it. I wound up running out of space, so I was like, "Crap, I can't put that in there." But I figured I would save it for the podcast. So let's see if I can find this here. I think I found it. No, I didn't find it. Oh, shucks, I don't have it. It was weird. Like, I wrote this out, and I was like, oh, that's, like, crazy. That's crazy that, you know, these statistics. I thought of it. I was like, wow, these statistics are kind of strange. But no, I don't have it anymore. I thought I did. I thought I kept those, but I didn't. Okay, so, for Baraka's, I'll read you Baraka's description. Despite his awkward style, Baraka continuously showed up in the winner's bracket. Never losing until the finals, Baraka took his former position in Tier 3 of the Game Pro rankings and ran with it all the way to the end. His strange hit zones confused most of the cast and contributed to him having the second highest total number of matches won in the tournament. His Game Pro ranking was number 10. He was 10. But he jumped up to number 2. He had the second biggest jump. He had the biggest jump in number of in spots from the tournament rankings and the Game Pro rankings. I'll read you Katana's because she was number 3. Although regarded as a mid-tier character in professional analysis, Katana has always placed high with others and within GI's tier list. Her impressive selection of zoning moves and myriad of high-damage combos and pressure tactics make her a dangerous foe. Never underestimate what Katana players are capable of. She was ranked number 7, and she's ranked number 3. She was ranked number 7 for Game Pro and number 3 for us. So, I was like, wow. Now, I want to read you the Kung Lao one, because this one is kind of weird. At the very bottom of the heap is someone who is near universally acclaimed as one of the game's strongest characters. Kung Lao was expected to go far, not necessarily win the tournament, but at the very least show in the semifinals. But Kung Lao started weak and never recovered. He was the first to be eliminated, and no amount of top-tier magic could bring him back. So what was his downfall? A lack of offense and wide-open defense are culprits. Kung Lao is better than this and should have shown it. He was ranked number 3 in the Game Pro tournament rankings. and he is ranked number 12 on our list. And I was like, for real? Oh, Kung Lao. Oh, Kung Lao, that's terrible. Kung Lao really should have had a better showing than that. That was the biggest surprise, was that Kung Lao just did not show up that well. And I was like, really, Kung Lao, you're better than this, buddy. You should have been higher. But alas, he couldn't. He just could not pull it off. So I'm going to see if I can't find that chart of the extra statistics, because I thought that was very fascinating, and I wish I could find it right now. I don't know where I put it. I have no idea where I put that, and I'm usually better organized, especially because I had to keep all the statistics in this tournament. I was doing all the statistics myself, so I kind of wanted to keep track of that, and I have no idea where I stuck that. But yeah, that's basically how our tournament stuff played out, and I thought it was fascinating near the end how everything played out and how it wound up working. So we're gonna wrap this up. We're nearing the end, and I got nothing else for you guys with this tournament. I really don't have anything else for you guys with the tournament. It's done. It's finished. Everything is done. I always thought it was fascinating how tournaments played out and how things worked necessarily with tournaments. And I found that that this tournament was really no different. It's quite fascinating looking at the statistics at the very end and seeing, you know, based on what your assumptions were ahead of time, what how things would play out and, you know, where people would end up in the tournament. And I always thought that was very interesting. And it really was no different with this tournament. So this was my very first one. I had never, ever in my life played in a Mortal Kombat 2 tournament. Never. Every time I went to go play in a tournament, I wound up either not being able to do it, or they just didn't have any, or by the time I went to play it, the game was out of, I mean, they were selling the machines and they got three in, and so everybody had moved on to MK3, and I've also never played in a Mortal Kombat 3 tournament, so I'm anxious to see when I can get someone to run a tournament with me again. I might want to do a Mortal Kombat 3 tournament. Now, the thing here is, I don't know if I'm going to do Mortal Kombat 3 or Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. There is a big difference. There is a big difference. And I'm not sure if I want to do that. It's going to be a while if I even do bother to do another tournament. It will be a long time before I do it, because I'm kind of tournament out. I'm kind of tired of doing tournaments. So they take a lot out of you, especially when you got to coordinate doing all the stuff and you know, making sure you got everything together and getting the video set up for it, and such pain. But actually playing in the tournament for the first time was fun. For me, it was actually really fun, and I got into that tournament mindset again, because as I said before, I used to play Street Fighter in tournaments, and I always got put out early. I was never really any good at Street Fighter, but I enjoyed the tournament atmosphere, going and meeting different people and talking and learning strategy and that kind of thing. So setting up this tournament with Jamie, I'd already had tournament experience, but I had never actually had Mortal Kombat 2 tournament experience. So it was pretty fun setting up my own tournament, figuring out how I was going to do my brackets and running it and getting everything together. So I don't know about Jamie, but I really enjoyed doing it, and I enjoyed putting things together and making everything look the way I wanted it to look and doing the analysis and strategy, and it was pretty fun. Recording matches, the way I recorded the matches, and I thought I would give y'all a little background on how we recorded things. I don't actually have the arcade version of Mortal Kombat 2. Well, technically I do. I don't have an arcade machine, but I have Midway Arcade Treasures 2, which is on PlayStation 2 and GameCube. I use the PlayStation 2 version to do this. And what we did was we have a device that allows us to record video from our systems. And it just so happens that I have both versions of it. I have the PlayStation 2 version and the GameCube version of Midway Arcade Treasures 2. And I decided I would use the PlayStation 2 version of it. So it's pretty much, and both versions are pretty much arcade perfect. It's pretty arcade perfect. It has all of the same glitches and things and issues, except in the PlayStation 2 version of it, you can't get to smoke in the arcade version, because, like, if you go through the tournament ladder, you can't get to smoke because they map the pause button to the start button, and that's how you get to him. You'd have to be on the portal, do uppercuts, and then do down and start, so you'll never be able to fight him, ever. You'll never be able to fight him in that version. Anyway, that's how we recorded it. We went through, we set up ahead of time. We were like, okay, this is who's in this round. We're doing this match. And so he and I would pick based on what character was fighting at that point. We would pick and then record the match. And as you can see, if you watch our video, I went back in later and added certain things like, player one and player two designation. And I actually combined the video and rendered it and all. And it was really, really simple to do it. That part was not hard. And then after we did that, we would go back, watch the raw video to see, you know, how the match went, and then write our analysis, and then record. After we did our analysis, I would edit it, edit the analysis, the written analysis, because that's what I do. I'm a copy editor, and I am the editor-in-chief, so that is part of my job. If part of the quarter, I would edit the analysis, make sure things were called correctly, you know, moves were named correctly, and then put the whole thing together, lay it out, put it together, and then we would record the podcast way later, based on our analysis of what you saw written down in the actual issue. So, it was pretty, the process takes, it can take a day or it can take several days. It just depends on whenever we felt like doing it. And then toward the end, since it's just me doing this, I actually wrote the analysis. I went back and watched and wrote the analysis from both perspectives and basically did the video. And because we'd already recorded all of the video, so all I had to do was go back in and edit the video and do what I need to do and put it together like it was supposed to be. So that is why I was like, okay, well, you know, this is not that hard. And it's really not that hard to do it. Overall, because it was simple to do that, and because actually doing the tournament was playing in matches and stuff was pretty simple, I actually had a lot of fun with it. I wanted to give y'all a little background on my Mortal Kombat 2 experience. I probably gave it to you in the first podcast, but, I started playing Mortal Kombat 2 in, 1993. I was in the 7th grade, and I would go to my home arcade, which was, Aladdin's Castle in Columbia, South Carolina, which is where I'm from. And I was like, oh, what is this game? This game is very awesome. Oh my God, people are dying. I was like, wow, people are actually really dying. That dude got his head cut off for real. Shit just got real. And then, of course, once I started playing, I was really shy at the time. And I didn't talk a whole lot to people. And so it was always guys in the arcade and, you know, teenage girl and hormones and guys equals not a whole lot of talking or a whole lot of talking. So, but most of the guys were older than I was, so I, you know, I didn't do a whole lot of talking to them because, you know, I was really, really, really shy. So, I finally got up the courage one night. I was in there and I got up the courage and I was like, okay, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to ask this guy how he's doing this stuff. Because I was standing there watching the whole time and just like transfixed. And it was this guy named Ken. And Ken was like 16. I was like 12. So he was like, well, hey, hello there. So you're interested in playing this? And I was like, yeah, actually I am. I have never played anything like this. What is this? And he's like, it's Mortal Kombat 2. I was like, damn, they on the second game? And he was like, yes. And I was like, okay. Well, I had been reading game magazines, so I kind of knew what it was, but I didn't really know what it was. So, I had never actually tried to play it. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna try this. So, he was like, okay, we'll put your tokens in, and, I'll give you some pointers, get you started. So my first character was Sub-Zero. I remember this. My first character was Sub-Zero. I don't even remember who he picked. I want to say he picked Sub-Zero. And so he's like, okay, well, this is how you do moves. You have to do special moves. You have special moves and you have regular moves. You can do special moves. And the way he broke this down was perfect for someone who had never played the game before. I mean, it was perfect. I immediately understood what he was saying. And he was like, all right, well, you got to be able to do a smooth motion in a circle. Move the joystick in a smooth motion. I was like, oh, okay, I think I kind of understand how to do this. And so he had me throw an ice freeze with Sub-Zero. And I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. I was like, this is the most awesome thing in the world. And so for a couple, like I say about half an hour, we stood there and he was showing me stuff and we fought matches and things. And he was like, okay, now when you get to the end and you beat this person, this thing is going to come up and be like, finish him. And I was like, finish him? And he was like, yeah, that's how you kill people in the game. He was like, you can kill people. That when you asked me earlier how you were killing people and stuff, and that dude got his head chopped off, that's when you do it. And I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. So he showed me, and he did a finishing move. And I think he showed me, I want to say, he showed me Katana's Kiss of Death, which I can do that in my sleep now. I can do it in my sleep now. It's hold low kick, tap forward, forward, down forward, release low kick, and you got to be very close. And once I finally, he showed me how to do it, because I remember the very first one that I ever did was was the head where you chop off the head with a fan. And that's tap block, I can't remember, tap block three times, and I think high kick. Is how you do it. I could be wrong. I know it. If I'm doing it, I can do it. But I did my first finishing move. And I was like, holy crap, I killed that dude. And he was like, yes. He just kind of looked down at me and he was like, yes, yes, you did. So I played. I kept coming back. And I came back and I was like, thank you. You know, this is awesome. I'm like hooked. So when I went home, and this is in the time there was no internet, okay, well, there was internet, but it wasn't widespread. Most people didn't have internet at home. It was at schools, it was on like campuses and stuff. So I had my mom, because my mom worked for a university that I later attended when I went to college. I had her. I was like, Ma, I need you to go on the internet, get this stuff for me. Because everybody was putting out facts at that time who had access. If you were in college, you had access, so you could do it. They went on and did it, and there were a bunch of people who did stuff. This was even before the advent of GameFAQs. So there was no GameFAQs at the time. So I remember her going on, and she found it on some site, I think Happy Puppy or some crap, I think it was, or Skinny Puppy or something like that. I want to say it was Skinny Puppy, which is still around as far as I know. She found it for me, and she was like, all right, this thing is huge. It's like 30 pages, but it was a text document, and it was every move listed, and I had also, at the time, I had the May 1993 issue of GamePro. That had all the finishing moves in it. And so I was like, oh crap, I got this. I got that issue. And so, and I still have it. It's in pieces somewhere, but I still have it. So I started taking that with me to the arcade. And at the time, the game was still huge. People were still playing this. So the guys on Saturdays, because when I first went and was learning how to play, it was during the week. Because I would wait for my mom to get off from work, and she would come home and pick me up, and she'd be like, okay, you going to the arcade or what? And I'd be like, yeah, I want to go. So she would take me down there, and she would sit outside and read her romance novel, and because she loved romance novels. She'd sit out and read her romance novel and wait for me to finish, and she would be like, all right, you got like an hour. You got an hour. Do not take more than an hour. And my mom is very strict about time. So she would be like, you know, you have an hour and you better get good. So no more than an hour. So she would sit out there and wait for me. And sometimes she would come in and she'd watch me play, and she'd be like, oh, look at my little girl playing the boys. But she always encouraged me. She was never like, oh, you're a girl and you can't play video games, or, you know, you're a girl and you can't be playing this stuff. You know, this is too mature for you. She was like, you're not stupid. You realize that this is not real. These are real people playing these characters, but they're not, it's not real. You can't go out and do this without consequences. So I got to playing, and I started going on the weekends, of course. I was always in there on the weekends, but definitely I started going more often on the weekends. And she would drop me off in the morning. I'd go practice and wait for people to get in there and play the guys. And it got to be there was this huge crowd of guys that used to come in on Saturday afternoons, because that's what they did. And I was like the only girl there. I was the only girl there, and I was like 12. These guys were like in their, they were teenagers or like in their early 20s, and they were like, hey, what is she doing in here? So, I mean, I got to know them fairly well, and they would always know that. I'd be like, hey, man, yeah, I got school in the morning, you know, especially if they came in at night. During the week, I'd be like, yeah, I got school in the morning, so I gotta go home and finish my homework. My mom would be like, have you done your homework? I was like, no. And she's like, okay, then, you have an hour. But I remember going in and playing, and I got pretty good. I got really, really good with Katana. I decided I was gonna play Katana, and so I started playing her, and I got good to the point where people feared my skills. They were like, holy crap. This girl is good. And by the time I got really, really, really good with Katana, I've never actually, and I can tell you, that I've beaten Mortal Kombat 2 in the arcade one time. And it's actually, I've never actually beaten it in a stand-up cabinet arcade. I've never actually beaten it because Midway's crazy ass decided that, hey, fourth person is gonna kill you. So, the first time I actually beat the real arcade perfect version was on Midway Arcade Treasures 2, which was like 15 years after the fact. And I was like, for real? This is ridiculous. That's how I knew it was arcade perfect. That's how I knew that version was arcade perfect. Because I couldn't get past the fourth person. I wound up having to switch characters constantly. So I could get up to Kentaro and then Shang Tsung. I mean, not Shang Tsung. Kentaro and Shao Kahn. So by the time I got good at 2, 3 was getting ready to come out, and boy, the hype for 3 was huge. And I remember the day we got 3, it was in like April of 95, we got 3, and I was in, I was in the 9th grade at that point. No, I think I was still in the 8th grade. I take that back. I was still in the 8th grade, so it was probably 95-ish, somewhere around there. I was in the 8th grade, yeah. It was April of 95, and it was spring, and I remember going in and seeing they finally got the machine in, because I had been keeping up with the hype on it and reading everything. man, I was like, wow, this is going to be awesome. So I remember playing, and I started out, Sindel was my first character, because Katana, of course, was not in the game, and I was like, how dare you? How dare you not put Katana in this game? Or Scorpion? Like, what is this about? But I started playing Sindel, because I knew I was going to want to play her as soon as I saw the promo materials for it, and I was like, wow, I'm going to play the hell out of this game. And sure enough, I did. Ken was there, and Ken was still going at that point, and we would play. And I remember specifically one time playing. I gone in on a Saturday afternoon after the game first came out, and I was playing with Sindel and practicing. And because at the time they were still passing out move list sheets, somebody had gotten the list of moves from Midway, because Midway was sending it out with all the machines for arcades, and so they gotten their move list, and they were passing them out, and I remember one of them was red, and one of them, they did them on different color sheets of paper, so one time it was red, and one time it was purple, and I was like, okay, I need my move list sheet, and so I went up to the counter, and I was like, let me get a move list from y'all for MK3, because I left mine at home. So I'm sitting there learning how to play Sindel, and the crazy thing was, they didn't have all the moves listed on the move sheet. No one knew them all yet. Even Midway themselves didn't know. And so, I remember being like, for real? I'm going to have to sit here and try to figure out these moves. So, I remember playing and I'd beaten somebody and, I was playing in the arcade version. I was on the tower and, so this person comes and I'm sitting there looking at my move sheet in between rounds and stuff. And, somebody comes over and puts token in. And I was like, oh, God, this is probably going to be somebody I really don't want to play, but I'm going to have to play him since I'm on the machine. And I look up, and it's Ken. And I was like, oh, crap. I was like, oh, crap, I'm going to lose this one bad. And I did. He laughed at me. He was like, I see you practicing now. I was like, yeah, you know, I gotta practice on three since at that point, they had two machines, they had two MK2 machines, and they had one MK3 machine. And by that point, MK2 was still so popular that they had to put a monitor up on the top of the machine because everybody was in there playing it. And also at this time, this was when fighting games were fighting games had exploded. You had Street Fighter 2 in the arcade. Because I played some of that sometimes. I played a little bit of that, but not a whole lot. I played a lot of Mortal Kombat, a lot more. You had Mortal Kombat 2. They still had an MK1 machine, which was crazy. Like, nobody played it, but they still had an MK1 machine. There was Killer Instinct was out at that point. A lot of people played that. There was a lot of people over on that machine, but mostly it was Mortal Kombat. Also, Virtua Fighter had come out in 94 at that point. So there were a couple of, we had a Virtua Fighter machine in there too. And also, at the same time, Tekken had just come out. The first Tekken game came out. It was 94. So I remember we had a machine. I never played it, but we had a machine. Because I remember thinking, oh, that looks just like Virtua Fighter. I don't want to play that mess. So I prefer Mortal Kombat much more to Tekken at the time. So, yeah, there were a lot of fighting games at that point, but Mortal Kombat 2 was my main one, and then later MK3, and then Ultimate MK3. That's why I never really got into playing in tournaments, because we didn't really have tournaments. From time to time, I think the one tournament that we had, it was on Soul Calibur, and that was like a year later. It was in 95-ish, 96-ish, and I really didn't play. I didn't play Soul Calibur. And by that point, I got out of the mode of going to the arcade a whole lot because they started closing them down. So my Latin's Castle wound up closing December 31st, 1990, I want to say 96. It was 96 when they closed it. And after that, I was sad. So I stopped going to arcades. And they wound up closing a lot of arcades in Columbia at that point. They closed a lot of them around about that time. So, and there was no point in me even really going out there and playing anymore. So that is why I got out of the mode of playing Mortal Kombat in tournament setting, because by that point, there was Mortal Kombat 4, but it was kind of haphazard and not a whole lot of people playing it where I was. So that is why we got the idea. I was like, hey, we should run a Mortal Kombat 2 tournament. We have the resources to do it, so let's do it. So I wound up doing it. So that's how we got here. So we want to thank you, since this is our finals, we want to thank everyone who has listened to our podcast for our tournaments, who has kept up with the tournament, who has been reading our issues for our tournament coverage. We want to thank you because, you know, it's a labor of love for us, and I enjoy doing it, and it was fun. It was really fun, and, you know, you're nothing without your readers. So we want to thank you and hope that you will come back for future tournaments for us. And again, I don't know what our next tournament will be. I haven't even thought that far ahead. And seeing as though it's just me doing this stuff now for tournaments, I have to kind of change my format and figure out what I want to do with it. I was thinking about doing one for Project Justice / Rival Schools because you can get CPU player. And I would like to test my skills against the CPU in that, since that's, I don't have anyone else to play that with now. So, you know, I do want to do another tournament, but it probably will be a long time from now. But thank you, and we will have this up, and you guys can listen to this and watch our videos. Go back and follow us from the beginning of the tournament. And let us know what you think. Hit me up at my email. My email is editor@gaminginsurrection.com. Or you can send it to lindsaym@gaminginsurrection.com. It comes to both. I get them all. It doesn't matter. Or talk to us on Twitter. We're at Gaming Insurrect, and that's GamingInsurrect. That's all one word. And let us know what you think. So, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Outstanding.